Folks, welcome to the Wine Vault. This is the triple of the Zinapalooza tonight. I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, and the triple B has joined us.
Pleasant surprise.
Yes, because she said, Rob, all I want to do is be married to you and be on the Wine Vault. So I said, I know, one blessing is not enough. Come on the show. So she is here tonight. We have a very wonderful show prepared for you tonight. We've hours of preparation. Our interns have been working overtime putting this together for you tonight, folks.
Are you just now starting?
This is the third episode.
Folks, that's what she said.
They have been in the basement for like 3 hours.
Are you in yet? Stuff like that. See, folks, we don't have any problems. She's here. We say the same thing. No, this is a triple episode. It's a three play.
Okay.
A three way.
A series. Sort of. Trilogy, if you will.
A trilogy.
Zinapalooza.
Yeah, Zinapalooza, folks. It's like the Lord of the Rings, except for.
It's more like The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, I fall asleep through the first one, so you know. But folks, we have a very special episode. Although every wine episode is special in the Wine Vault, of course. When we come back, we will reveal the wine of the night. I think you can guess what it mostly is made of, but
what?
Or maybe you can't. Maybe it's a Sauvignon Blanc. No, maybe it's a Chardonnay.
We'll be back with Zinapalooza
on the Wine Vault
from Ezekiel Elliott.
Hello, this is Gnarly Head Black Old Vines Inn. We are a sponsor of the Wine Vault here at Gnarly Head Old Vines Inn. Our Black Edition, we believe in having the sweetest wines available to the public so they can get their sweet tooth on. Isn't that right, Mr. Gnarlyhead?
None of that full fermentation for us.
No.
We're going to cut it short.
We want sweet sugar in our wines.
Residual sugar, that's my motto.
So, if you want a sweet wine, drink Gnarlyhead Black Old Vines Inn. So we're back. Thanks for our sponsor, Gnarly Head Old Vines Inn. You'd be surprised seeing that we said it was the ghastliest shit in the world, yet they want to sponsor us? I don't know what
they know quality. No,
they don't know quality.
In a podcast, they do.
Okay. I was going to say, they wouldn't know wine if it,
So
what?
Should we be taken aback that they're our sponsors then?
No, we'll take their money. Gnarly Head, legitimately, we will let you make a real commercial if you give us money, and then we'll be bought out. Also, although we're not going to drink this, send us your lodi.
Yeah, send the lodi.
Yes, and hold the sugar.
Hold the sugar.
Yeah. But tonight, folks, we're reviewing a wine that knows to hold the sugar. But it is another wine giant in California. Well, I don't know. I mean, it is a wine giant. They're a big winery. You see them everywhere, folks. You've seen them in your local grocery store. You've seen them in your wine shops. You said, my gosh, I want to try that. Well, guess what? We're
going to try it.
It's the Bogle Vineyards Essential Red from 2013. The Essential Red is a nice mashup of everything that they make. So they take their Old Vine Zinfandel, they take their Syrah, they take their Cabernet, and they take their lovely Petit Syrah, put it in a bowl, mix it up, and serve it to you. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, but that's what do you, okay, yeah. That's what they do, folks. So as I said, folks, this is a Zin, Syrah, Cabernet, Petit Syrah blend, but it's primarily Zin. And you can find it $11.99. It's everywhere. It really is a good middle of the road for all their stuff. I really like their Petit Syrah. I think their Old Vine Zin is good. Not great.
Yeah, it's good, not great.
Yeah. The Sledgehammer, I would do that over the Old Vine Zin, but it's a different style. Now, most of their stuff, they're in Clarksburg, the AVA of Clarksburg, which is basically Lodi. So most of their Zin grapes are Lodi. Their Petit Syrah, a few other things, that's in Clarksburg. But that's all, we're all talking about south of Sacramento. So central California, warmer, So you're talking about brighter, richer fruits, similar to everything we've tasted tonight, except for the gnarly head, whichever, whatever the fuck that was.
In the Sacramento Valley, it's a little sandier soil.
It's not a Sacramento Valley. It's actually the Delta.
The Delta.
Sacramento Delta. And I.
Oh, the Sacramento River.
Well, there is a Sacramento River, yes, and the Delta. But then Lodi is. See, the thing is, you got Clarksburg, which is in the Delta, okay, and the Delta is somewhat flat, kind of a plain, because out further west, you have a lot of, once again, your agricultural areas where they're doing your lettuce, your tomatoes, that kind of crap, and plunk wines. And then Lodi is hilly, okay? But then after Lodi, you get into the Sierra foothills with Amador County and whatnot. That's where your big, badass Zinfandels live. Your fiddlehead, all that kind of stuff is the Fiddletown, all that kind of stuff. That's in Amador County. So it kind of starts with the cruddy stuff into the pretty good stuff into the elite stuff. So the great of the great is in Amador. There's great stuff in Amador. And a lot of Turley stuff comes from Amador.
Gotcha. And so this is right in the middle of all that. Right?
But once again, most of this stuff is Lodi because it's primarily Zin. And we know Lodi. We love Lodi.
We love Lodi.
And then the rest of it is just kind of a mixed mash of stuff. And I think they probably have some stuff also down in Paso Robles, the western part, which is the bulk area, your J-Lores, your Meridians. That's that northeast part of Paso Robles. Your western part is actually where Turley is located. And it gets woody. It gets, you know, forest areas and a little more hilly, better soils. But actually, no, I don't actually believe that these are necessarily all that alluvium soils of what you're looking for. You get up in Lodi, that is, it's a drier area because the Zins need dry. The one thing Zins can't have is moist, wet soil because they have vine rot. So they have to have a drier area. So yeah, Lodi, that definitely is up in there. But the rest of them are a little more resistant. Zin is a very finicky grape. So.
What about the reviews for this bottle?
Yeah. This one has been reviewed. Wine Enthusiast has given an 89, which is a solid score.
That's a solid score.
That's high. The Wine Vault has little tougher standards, as I would say. But Cellar Tracker, which is actually, I think we've talked about it before, the Cork Z, the app that I'm on, that manages my cellar. Cellar Tracker is the companion to that. This is a average of all the user reviews. And they gave it an 87.2, which is still good for the price. And then Tastings.com, which is as legit, well, less legitimate probably than the Wine Vault, gave it a 90.
No one's as legitimate as the Wine Vault, folks. Yes.
Tastings.com, they gave it a 90 after using copious amounts of cocaine.
This a 90?
But yes. Not the gnarly head. But
right,
the gnarly head would have been PCP. After you got that, yeah. Higher than a freaking kite. So that's kind of the breakdown of this. So we're expecting a ripe, warm, basically a warm climate red. Nice bright fruits, more once again blackberry than raspberry. And then we're gonna expect a little bit of the cab notes that come through. Now, luckily for Scott, there's no Merlot in this, but
so you ain't that fucking Merlot.
There's no Merlot. There's just four things. But when we come back, folks, we're going to smell it, we're going to look at it, we're going to taste it, we're going to tell you about it. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. We're back on the Wine Vault. We were discussing, we're watching the Alabama-Clemson game, and the Triple B and Scott were discussing about how muscular one of the refs were.
I think he's a little portly.
He needs to do cardio, but he's been lifting
cardio.
Weights.
Yes,
he needs some cardio. He's got some biceps.
He's going to drink some Sledgehammer later, folks. I bet that's what he's going to do. He's a man. Anyway, he probably smells like vanilla.
Yeah. Behind his
behind his ears.
Ears.
Little vanilla extract. The boys like that.
Yeah.
So, to the Bocal Essential Red. First of all, let's read the back of the label. We always do that. Rich, ripe, luscious, and juicy. This compelling red blend brings together the best of Old Vine Zinfandel, Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Petite Syrah. Unlike anything we've made before, .. except for the previous vintages. They don't say that, but that's true. Anything they've made before, it's the same thing as they've made before many times. That's okay, though. So, in the glass, You're gonna. It really has a nice dark inky hue, but then again, it's got Petit Sirah on it, so it should.
Yeah,
that's like putting dark black food coloring in a wine, basically. And quite frankly, you'll find, folks, a lot of these dark, deep Zins have a little Petit Sirah mixed in with them. It's a good practice. Well, it's a practice anyway. So, not very translucent. I mean, it's a dense looking wine. Yeah.
It is, has a little watery edge.
A touch.
Some legs.
It's not
the leggiest thing I've ever seen.
What's the alcohol on this fellow? Oh, here it is. It's as small as... folks. 13.5.
Ooh, ooh. Dun, 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 dun.
But it does have some other varietals on there that aren't necessarily atypical of high stuff. But... we shall see, folks.
We'll see.
Yeah. The nose, it's exactly what you'd expect from this. It's actually a little bit like the Gnarly Head.
Alcohol.
Yep.
Slight alcohol.
Black cherry. Maybe a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Maybe.
I mean, it's not pronounced, but I see that.
Maybe like...
It is reminiscent, though. The alcohol, though, does permeate a little bit. And you kind of have to get it out of your system, actually. It's not bad, though. I mean, once again, folks, we're expecting to smell a little bit of that on the nose. Right, Becky?
She nods assent.
Yes.
I'm nodding.
She's nodding, folks. Yes.
I'm going in.
Oh.
Are we drinking now?
I'm going in.
We're going in.
Oh.
That is essential.
Oh.
You need that in your life, don't you?
Oh. Oh. There's something going on right before the finish there that is nice. That's folks, that spiciness you talked about.
Yes, folks. Can I point out something here on the wine vault? Three wines are in front of us in the Zinapalooza. Two were purchased by one person. The other was purchased by someone else.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yes. Sesame Street logic. The unlicensed taxi driver is the purveyor of the Gnarly.
Hey. quote the late, great Joe Nuxall.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you swing the bat, you're dangerous.
Well, that's true. Now, he is... that's the good thing, though. We're branching out, trying some different stuff.
Yeah, it's that old Vine Zen. I bought it.
In fairness, Scott... I had sent Scott some paraphernalia that suggested that Gnarly Head was good, but it was a Lodi, but he went and bought Gnarly Head. Bait and switch, folks.
Yeah, it was a bait and switch.
It's not his fault. It really isn't. Well, the new Lodi has a black label like that.
Yeah.
No. It's hard to tell.
Folks, I wouldn't know the difference between the black and the new Lodi.
In fairness, folks, back to the Gnarly Head, it's so bad, you can't find reference to the black Old Vine Zin on Gnarly Head's website.
They don't claim it.
Well, probably because they bottled it before they realized how bad this shit was.
Maybe they're advertising on Grindr.
So then they pulled everything off of there. Oh, no, they're not.
With Sledgehammer.
No, I couldn't find any reference there.
You didn't see anything on reference? Okay. That's good. Yes.
Back to the Bogle.
Yes. The Bogle, folks, I mean, this is the thing. I've never had a bad Bogle. One thing I need to try, and I'll be honest, I haven't had their Cabernet, other than in bits and pieces in the Essential Red. I've had the Essential Red before, though, and enjoyed it. They also have a more expensive version called the Phantom.
Oh.
It's $20. And that's going to be a future guest on the Wine Vault.
That's a deal breaker.
I think it's more Petit Sirah on that one. And quite frankly, their Petit Sirah is around $10-$11, folks. And that is a damn fine Petit Sirah for that price range. I had it recently, but it was the night of the election, and we just don't want to relive that in our minds, no. By the way, I got my Democratic committee membership card today. I don't recall replying, but I got one today. Isn't that exciting?
Listeners on the Wine Vault have requested you.
They did?
But to participate in the process.
In the process? Yeah. I should run for president.
No.
I'm more likable, probably.
Than who?
Either one of them. You know.
Let's get back to this wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
What is that right before the finish? It's that spicy appeal that I think was in the nose.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know what I like? I like the chewiness. You see, it's got the fruitiness of the Zin, the sights and the smells of the Petite Sirah, but then the chewiness of the Cabernet. It's all there. I don't know about the Syrah, but still, the Syrah is just like the, you know, the Syrah you'd expect a little funk or something.
Or maybe it's just tying it all together.
Yeah.
It's the glue.
Yeah.
It's that role player.
It is a
on that championship NBA team.
It's a Frankenstein, but everything works. You know, we've had some things where we said this is disjointed and it doesn't all tie together. One was like the Columbia Crest, even though it's not a Frankenstein, it's all the same stuff. It wasn't all pulled together. You had certain parts, and none of them added up. This, you have four different parts. And it all adds up into something beautiful, really. Wouldn't you agree? But you want to know about the finish, right?
No, there's something going on right before the finish, that right in the, just past the middle there. This has a lot going on. There's definitely four separate phases of this wine. There's the mouthfeel, there's that initial palate, and then just before the end, there's something going on that's relatively spicy, earthy, that is wonderful. Yeah. Mm. And then it's just a nice, even finish.
Folks, you know, I don't know how they do it at $11.99. I really don't.
It's not black pepper.
No.
It's not quite a cayenne. It's somewhere between earthy and chocolatey. There's what is that?
I don't know.
Frankincense and myrrh. I don't know. I think you could give this to Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus would like this.
I think Baby Jesus would like.
That'd be a damn. I'd go to that Last Supper.
I'd go to this Last Supper.
I don't think they drank this at that. No.
Maybe.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
It's essential. I think it is. You know, that's, hear me out. Well, I don't think you're going to disagree with me. Since it's $11.99, it almost fills every role. Now, once again, ugly ribeye.
Every role is what you could do with this.
Yeah.
You can pair any meal with this.
I don't know about pasta, red sauce. It doesn't... Sausage. If you had like a fennel sausage, that would work. This is a versatile wine. It really is.
Very definitely, this is a red wine you could drink on your deck in the summer.
You can.
100%.
But it deserves better than that.
What I'm getting at is your versatility there. This is hearty winter wine for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the cusp of big.
Yes, it is.
And that's fine that I wouldn't say I wouldn't say this is a big wine, but I'd say it's on the cusp of big.
Yeah.
But what's beautiful about this is there's different things going on. There's a lot of balance there. And everything about it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the biggest mouthfeel, but it's a nice mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Just that front fruitiness that you talk about. It's there, but nice, not huge. And then there's that thing mm-hmm. we're having trouble describing here. That middle stage right before the finish.
And I'm not sure that any one of the grapes alone is exceptional. But because I can taste the old vine Zin. That's the front palate. I can taste it. I can pick that old vine zin out any day of the week. I remember what it tastes like up one way and down the other. I probably had it only three or four times, but it is very distinctive because even though it's a warm weather zin, it's a raspberry zin. And yes. You can taste it.
Yes.
I know the Petite Sirah anywhere. I have not had their Cabernet. But I would but all these things put together add up to something that is wildly interesting and really enjoyable.
Star of the Night.
And I love the Sledgehammer.
It's much better than the Sledgehammer.
It's a more complete one than the Sledgehammer.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I'm glad we didn't go side by side with these. We talked about the order we were going to do these, and we went Sledge. The wine to be further named as Gnarly.
Oh.
And the Bogle Essential Red. And this is...
The cab comes... For me, the cab, the Cabernet, in that the mid-palate Cabernet, it's kicking in that tannin. And that astringency.
That's it.
And that's what I love.
That's what that middle finish is. It's yeah. just, it's leather.
Yeah, it's a tannic astringency. You know what I mean. My mouth is...
Astringency.
Yes, astringency. And it's that puckeriness. With this big tapestry going on around it, it still draws you in that astringency and just...
It's leather. That's the first time you talked about leather before.
Yeah.
This is leather, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what that is.
I love it.
It's a dimension that most wines in this price range don't mix with everything else.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, could it go with an extra dimension of oak or something like that? Yeah, you could. But
that's fine.
You'd be fucking with the pureness of this wine.
Well, but, and again, you know, my thought with having some oakiness there, this isn't a big wine. It's on the cusp of being big. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it could handle that oakiness. I wonder what it would do if it was oaky. I wouldn't touch anything.
No, I wouldn't either. Now, just a little toastiness done, just a kiss of oak would take it maybe to that next dimension. Maybe.
Don't fuck with it.
I wouldn't. No. But because then, you know.
Now, here's an interesting question. And I don't know the answer. This is more your vein than mine. I'm learning about this. How does this age? How far could we go with this?
I like the way the tannins are structured right now. If you soften that up, you lose that dimension. A couple years, you know, but it's not an ageable wine. But a couple years, you can hold it. But damn, for anyone, you should have this in your...
If you don't like this, you don't like red wine.
No. And you should have this somewhere. I mean, even people that say I drink $25 bottles of wine on an everyday basis.
Fuck that.
You should be drinking this on an everyday basis and giving the rest of that, the balance of that to charity, because, you know, it's worth the time. It's a well-skilled, well-crafted wine, but that's what Bogle's doing. They are doing good work there. Even the Merlot. Oh, I don't know if the Merlot's any good.
Fuck the Merlot.
It's probably good. We're going to try the Merlot sometime, folks. That also means, folks, that we are going to try at some point their Cabernet, their Merlot. We'll also try there. We'll try everything.
This is just a nice bottle of red. I can't wait to go pick some of this up and share it with Princess.
It's a stunner, isn't it? It really is. And that's the thing. All the Trader Joe's stuff, you're really, it's a spinning that barrel. And I mean, you know.
Right.
You just don't know. For every Grifone, there is a Gnarly Head or a Tribunal. But with this stuff, every single damn time, you know it's good.
And guess what? Over the holiday season, Trader Jose, they had the Bogle Old Vine.
And the Old Vine is good.
It was $12.99, I think. Mm-hmm.
But you know what the old vine needs?
This.
It needs Cabernet. It needs Petite Sirah. It needs those other things to really let all those grapes shine, because you're not talking about elite stuff. I mean, like,
sometimes I think with blends, the winemaker's just masking his problems.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's what Bogle was doing here, say throwing in the Syrah, and we haven't really recognized any of the properties of Syrah in this. Mm-mm. But well, I'll tell you what this is.
The finish, I can.
This is, like you said, you've got the properties of the Cab, the Petite Syrah, and the Zin.
Mm-hmm.
Classic properties, all blended as one. And it makes for... it's just short of spectacular.
Yeah. There's like a chalky... funky tartness on the finish. There's your Syrah. Gotcha. That's Syrah. But the Petite Syrah is in the look, in the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Those are both Petite Syrah. The Zin has that wonderfully brambly opening. The mid palate is this gorgeous little tannic leather beauty. And then the finish, just that little chalky, just slightly funky, just a touch of funky.
Just a little funk in the aftertaste.
Yeah, and that's your Syrah.
But it's nice.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, we're going to keep on drinking, and we're going to come back with a little question and answer session where we each ask each other questions and see if we can stump the other one. We'll be right back. We're back in the wine vault, folks. We're having an interesting conversation.
Socialism versus capitalism and how it involves prostitution.
Yes. The unlicensed taxi driver, who is familiar with hookers in a less than savory way.
Hookers are great tippers.
He claims that it's a communistic practice, which doesn't make any sense because they're making money for themselves.
No, for the proletariat.
The proletariat, is that a pimp?
Yeah. Of course the proletariat is a pimp.
But they're not paying taxes on their...
you don't understand Marxism, do you?
Well, I understand that. But the pimp would not be the proletariat. That would be the government.
Same difference.
No, a pimp is not the government. To them, it might be.
To us, it is now.
What if it's a Craigslist hooker that doesn't have a pimp?
Well, then she needs to get her Uber ride.
And she's a capitalist, then.
And go back to Newark, and that's a $50 tip, and I'm all in favor of her.
So, but she's a capitalist. You would agree, right?
There's a certain sense of socialism, though. About
how
her.
Is it socialistic?
She's providing a service for
but
the
she's
men.
She's charging for it.
Is she charging enough? Is she getting her due?
I'm guessing if she's a Newark hooker, yeah, she probably is charging enough.
What about Newark makes you think that she's charging enough?
Have you been to Newark recently?
Yes, I was to Newark to drop off a prostitute.
How did you know she's a prostitute?
Well, generally when my riders get into the car, they don't wear bathrobes.
How did she make it to Newark if she was a hooker?
She made it to Newark on her Uber ride.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How did she make it to Newark on
her? Hey.
Is she somewhere off 40?
Those rumors.
In a shallow hole?
Oh, she made it home just fine.
Did she?
She did.
Parts of her or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Bathrobe.
Bathrobe.
Tell the listeners. They won't believe you, but tell the listeners.
So, it's the Friday night before New Year's Eve, and I get a pickup. 161 area. These apartments that are tucked in just below the continent, south side of 161.
Cleveland Avenue?
No. West of near Worthington, actually.
Oh.
Near Worthington. It might have been a Worthington address. These brick two-story apartments, probably 8 units to a building, probably 4 of these buildings. And there's a cop there with his lights rolling, but he doesn't have anybody inside. And I go right past him, and there she comes trolloping out with probably not Santa Claus, but a Santa Claus-looking guy, except he's wearing grimy Carhartts. And I'm assuming his name was Tim, because Tim was the person that paid for the ride. And then she gets in. Tim I never interact with. He sees that he walks her out there. She gets in the car. Tim turns around and pussyfoots away as quick as he can. I'm sure he saw the popo and said, I'm getting the F out of here. She, I don't know that I ever got her name, is wearing a bathrobe and something pseudo frilly underneath it. And she's got a grocery bag with all of her stuff in it. And she gets in the car and simply says, I know it's a long ways away. I looked up on the internet how much this will cost, but I got left behind here. And when she said that, her eyes flittered and she looked away. She broke direct contact, the sign of someone who's not quite telling the truth. And it didn't take much to add up that Tim was her trick. And she's, maybe she has a pimp, maybe she doesn't. Maybe somebody dropped her off and was supposed to come get her. Maybe Tim couldn't perform, and she got her money and left early. I don't know. We were 10 minutes in the ride, and I could hear her in the back counting her cash. I didn't turn and look. We carried on conversations about her former job.
What was her former job?
She worked for the health department in Newark. But they hired somebody in who had a college degree to replace her.
And now she's a prostitute.
She had children. She's 26. That's probably about right.
Attractive? No.
Middle of the road. Okay. She was okay.
For Newark?
Kind of a girl next door kind of look. She no makeup, nothing. She wasn't done up.
Maybe she was just an Uber driver that lost her car.
That gave me a $50 tip.
I don't know. Maybe she's a drug dealer.
Yeah, I didn't get that vibe.
Well, anyway, folks.
Looks like a duck. Quacks like a duck.
Did she
waddles like a duck.
Did she waddle? She heavier girl?
No. Roaming? No, she wasn't. Did she not waddle? At all. Oh. No.
Well, folks, that's the kind of information you get on the Wine Vault. It's kind of a dull story, but still. So
there was nothing exciting about it.
No.
She was a dull prostitute. Oh,
folks, I will agree. There was nothing exciting about that.
She was a dull prostitute.
A dull prostitute. So, folks, we're on to the question and answer section.
Uh-oh.
So, Scott's going to ask me a question, and then I'll answer it, and vice versa. So, Scott, fire away. It's not like truth or dare, though.
Best meal this year?
Well, it's 2017.
Last year.
Okay. Yeah. Let's think here. You know, my best meal actually was probably in the Outer Banks. I sure as hell can't remember the damn restaurant. It was this, strangely enough, it was a filet, but it wasn't the filet. They did this black peppercorn sauce, and I paired it with a BH Cone Cabernet. And the beauty part is, it was like the wine rehydrated the peppercorn and just let it burst whenever you would pair it, mix the two. And it wasn't that the steak was cooked so great or this or that. It was just that
physical thing.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful when you get that up, whether it's a wine, a meal, whatever. One of my favorite Jenny's ice cream flavors is the Capital City chocolate, which has cayenne pepper in it.
And Listeria.
And it's this milk chocolatey goodness, sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And then just at the end, there's this hot peppery taste that builds. Mm-hmm. And then it gets hot. And all of a sudden, you're ready for another bite of milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. And it's just this wonderful physical response that you get.
I also enjoyed the dry aged ribeye at the top. That was good. The short ribs at Barcelona were quite good. But yeah, that would be just that sauce, just that one, that visceral kind of,
I think I got a text with a picture of that meal from you.
Yeah, it wasn't, that wasn't really the best piece of meat or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that wine with that sauce that worked. So Scott, I will throw the same thing back to you.
Damn it, man. That was my question.
I didn't say, you knew that could. No, I'll try one. The best wine that you had in 2016. By technical merits. I know. I don't know what, if that was 2016 or not. No, that probably wasn't 2016.
We've had some good ones here.
Yeah. Because I would say the Plump Jack would theoretically be the best wine you've had in a long time. Because I say so. But that wouldn't have been, that wasn't 2016. No, that was 2015.
Wasn't this year. Wow.
Was it a Turley? When we had the Duarte at your house, it was good.
It was good, but, you know, it's not ready yet.
You know what? That we also had that refectory meal in 2016, too.
Those were, but again, those weren't ready yet.
No, but I meant best meal.
Oh, the best meal. Oh, wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what they did, and who might have had the best meal was Becky, doing the gluten-free entrees for her, ad-libbing them as they went along.
Yep. That place, they had,
we had two desserts, and she got four desserts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. The best wine. I'll tell you, man, one of my favorites. I don't know if it was the best, but one of my most memorable, that was before we started the Wine Vault series. The night at the Avenue, we had those two bottles. The Seguigio,
oh, the Seguigio
was one great, but it was the other one.
Oh, you like the Gagao.
The Gagao. That was one of my most memorable bottles of wine. The Seguigio is great. I've had that since.
Yeah.
But the Gagao was...
a Northern Rhone. Folks.
Phenomenal.
I will agree. That was a fun experience. Wine drinking experience, that was fun. It would have been better had it been where we didn't have to drive to and fro, but still. But it was all right.
Yeah, we were fine.
We made some interesting phone calls on the way home.
Remember that? Yes, we did.
All right.
Harassment.
Yes, your next question.
Harassment. Yeah, and I'm feeling like I'm leaving something out of the wines that you've broken out over the last year. And I have to give homage to all of them from the namesake of the Wine Vault, from your Wine Vault. God, and I can't just remember one that was over the others. They're all so good. I just don't always have that name recognition like you do. I wish I did.
Well, is there a question that you'd like to ask?
Well, there is a question I'd like to ask. Mm-hmm. So, when it comes to pairing food with wine when we're out, is there a point where it's like, the hell with it, I'm just going to get the best bottle that's on the menu? Or are you guys going to try and pair?
Well, I order food dependent on what I see is available via wine.
Oh. So essentially you're pairing.
I am, but the wine first. Although, say Seguigio was there. I think Seguigio is a beefy enough Zinfandel that it can stand up to virtually anything. It really can. But if I saw Seguigio, I would just get it. That being said, though, I rarely order fish, strangely enough. I think I stopped eating a lot of fish because I drink so much red wine that I don't ever have time to order anything else, which is kind of a pain in the ass. Because there is fish I like, I just don't really want to drink white wine.
Well, and I'm probably not going to order fish from most restaurants also.
Well, yeah.
There's great seafood restaurants in Columbus, the Cameron Mitchell places.
Oh, yeah.
I would order fish from any of them. But other than Cameron Mitchell, who am I ordering fish from?
True. In Napa. Remember, I went to Napa. I spent 3 days in Napa and a few... So... one of the nights, we went to, it was a seafood restaurant in Napa, and I did order fish, obviously, and I got a nice Sauvignon Blanc from Catherine Hall.
Nice.
But we'd just been to Catherine Hall, so that was the last time I think I ordered white wine. It's been several years. So that's what I would say. I typically look at the wine list and then kind of cater or tailor what I'm going to order, you know, revolving around that. I've got a good question for you.
Okay.
Other than Merlot, what is your next least favorite red wine?
Oh. For sure, I'm not a fan of Moscato. I'm not a fan of... But that's those not... That wines. Doesn't really count.
Well, they don't count at all. They're white. It
doesn't count.
Yeah. I could easily answer this question.
Go ahead.
Well, it's not my question.
Oh, but you're answering
you
for me?
You can answer it. Ask me.
You, yeah. No, you're answering for me? No?
No, you... I don't know what you...
Oh, you don't know my least...
I never got a rose at some Las Vegas restaurant, so... And by the way, folks, we will, in a couple months...
I'll be honest.
Coming from Las Vegas.
I've never had anything east of California, Washington that I think has any merits as a red wine. Is that an answer?
So you're saying that anything in Ohio or anything is bad?
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious. That's weak.
What's Merlot? I don't care for Merlot. I can't think of one. I can't think of one where I've never had a good wine of it. And as you proved my point to be wrong, there are some good Merlots. We had that 75 Merlot 25.
You just have to pay for Merlot.
Right.
It's a fickle, it's a thin-skinned grape. So it has to be in cool weather. The cool areas are expensive. You can't grow good Merlot in, you know, Monterey or northeastern Paso Robles. It's hot. So that's where a lot of that shit's made. So you've got to go to the Sonomas and whatnot.
I would say the other grape that I'm going to lean away from is Syrah. The California Syrah. I don't know that I've had anything bad. But I certainly have anything that's been memorable.
You're excluding Petite Syrah, but
excluding Syrah. Petite Syrah.
Yeah, I know. Syrah's a little overdone, and it's just not...
And you don't care for the Australian, but if I had to pick between Shiraz and Syrah...
My least favorite.
I like Shiraz. I know you don't Jesus like Shiraz.
Oh, fucking Christ. So what's your question to me? I was hoping that would be the question.
Well, let's just make that the question. What's my least favorite red? What's your least favorite red variety?
Australian Shirazes. I hate them. It's just, and I know that people like them, but stylistically, they are just so overdone. And in a previous episode, Becky and I did one of the biggest offenders, the Schild. And it is a massively grand wine, and I know that. It got a 96 from the Spectator, and it should. But it's just so over fucking done. There's no, like in the essential.
What do you mean overdone?
The oak is overdone. The fruit is overdone. The residual sugar is there, but it's not sweet, but you can tell it's there. It's too heady. It's too this. It's too that. It's like it just screams at. It's a sledgehammer. It screams at you. There's no subtlety. The great ones have subtlety, but even the good ones in those price ranges are just awful. Everything it's just like everything is dialed to 11. And I just don't care for it, especially the Barossa Shirazes. I used to like one anyway. Maybe it was when I was younger that I liked them, but Elderton. I always liked Elderton because it had a buttery oakiness to it.
Ooh.
I don't know that I'd like it today.
Not often do you describe a red wine as buttery.
That's the way I would describe it.
Chardonnay, buttery all day.
Yes. Molly Duker's. Ugh. I have three of their high-end ultra premiums. Their Carnival of Loves. I have them.
Ooh, just like the name of that.
I don't know. And they get ultra-high scores, and they're expensive. And they're all in there in the wine vault. I don't know. I guess we'll drink them sometime. Not looking forward to it because I don't like the style. I used to when I bought them, but now I don't.
Maybe you need to consume them soon. Or how are they ageable? What?
Yeah, they're very ageable. They just don't have any subtlety. And that's the thing. I'm not a big Pinot guy, but I like Pinot sometimes because of its subtlety. Because it has the little... You have a little bit of mushroom, truffle, a little earthiness. I like French wine because it has...
Yeah, that's subtlety.
It doesn't right. yell at you.
Right.
And this wine doesn't yell at you either. It's very soft.
I think that's one of the most endearing characteristics about it, the way it all goes together, and it's so soft and it's so nice. It's on the cusp of being big, but it's not.
I want a wine where I can sit there and figure out what it is. I don't want it to tell me what it is. How's that?
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer doesn't do that. It tells you
what it is.
You know.
Except it's wrong.
Yes. Okay. Your favorite white wine. And then you can come back to me with that. He's going to say Riesling.
Well, I've had good Rieslings, but I don't know enough about them to always be able to pick out the right one.
I will teach you.
And you will. And you will. So it's not an expensive wine, but and if I botch the name, St. Michel.
Well, that's a winery.
Yeah, the winery. But they make a nice Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
That's my favorite white wine. If I see that, and I think it's about $19.99 a bottle.
Okay.
I'm going to get that. If I had to pick one out.
Mine's easy. I don't know if you've had this. The Spanish Abarino.
No. I do like the Spanish varietals.
But you never had an Abarino?
No,
Sancho. I will have to.
Sunday night at Barcelona. Retail wine night.
Baby Jesus. An Albarino. When you taste it, and I'm not talking Auslaxis, there are other Albarinos. You will say, I believed in God, but now I'm going to consider other religions.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, now I know he exists.
That too. Could be. Oh, I don't believe in God, now I do. It is just the most wonderful. You know what? I like a white wine that has a glycerin mouthfeel to it. Oily mouthfeel. And Albarinos have that. Not many do. No, they don't. Another one that has that.
That coating feel that it's going to coat your tongue.
Yes. Another one that has it is Petit Mansing.
Huh.
You ever had that?
No.
Last one I had, it's very rare anymore. I don't even know who makes it, if anyone. It was from a North Carolina vineyard that we went to. And they made a Petit Mansing. And you know what? It was proper Petit Mansing. And I'm sitting there with a glass. And I'm still in North Carolina, which is, you know, hey. And I'm enjoying myself looking at the scenery in North Carolina drinking a wine because they properly made a Petit Mansing. I even bought a bottle. They charged
a North Carolina vineyard.
Yeah. It was a proper Petit Mansing. I don't know anyone that makes a Petit Mansing anymore because nobody likes it. But I do because of that oily mouthfeel to it.
Yeah, but you put vanilla behind your ears before you go out.
I like a man that smells like vanilla. What can I say? So I answered that. We got a couple more questions. This is going good.
Yeah. So along the lines of the white wine, something that I think is underappreciated, the Spanish Grenaches.
That's not white.
But along the lines. It's in between. It's not red.
You mean a rosé?
Yeah, it's a rosé, but it's a Spanish Grenache style blend. It's a blend, correct? Grenache is a blend.
Well, Grenache is a red grape.
It is a grape?
Well, yeah, last time I checked.
Okay.
I've got some Grenache in there.
They're...
It's actually...
Nice.
Grenache is primarily what...
Shout out to Lamont.
Yeah.
In summary, he pulls over and he brings Grenaches. And not all of them are my favorite. Mm-hmm. But consistently, I can say I enjoy them.
Châteauneuf du Pape is primarily Grenache.
Yeah?
As is Côte de Rhône. Most Southern Rhône is Grenache. There's a little Syrah blend in there and a few other things, but that's the primary grape of Southern Rhone. So it's a big... So when Lamont's doing that... Lamont's French. Well, yeah.
Well, he doesn't know.
Well, Lamont doesn't know what day Tuesday
is. He buys Spanish Grenaches. That's what he buys.
Well, yeah. I actually have some Australians. Go figure. I buy at Clarendon Hills, which is a pretty posh place. They make... And Grenache can be very, very ageable.
Really?
Yeah. Spain normally treats Grenache as a blending grape. Normally.
That's where I probably got.
But they, you can make Grenache into a rosé. They'll sometimes.
And that's what the style that I'm talking about is. A rosé.
You know, like that cava that we had that you hated?
That Brut?
That's a Tannat grape. So that's typically what that is. Grenache and Tannat. They'll make the rosé Brut stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Mm hmm.
So steak.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Blystone.
Yeah.
We're going to grill. We're going to have Fred Flintstone steaks.
Are they going to be Kobe beef?
Non-Kobe.
I can't take that anymore. Yeah.
Just beef.
Yeah.
What's your cut?
Ribeye.
Yeah, you got to go ribeye.
I used to be a strip guy.
I was a strip guy once.
You got to go ribeye.
I got to go ribeye.
Always, folks.
Because it's a fat. And particularly if I'm going Fred Flintstone steak.
Dry aged.
Oh, that's
bone-in.
I'm not even talking about that.
Well, you shouldn't talk about pornography on the wine vault.
Well, we do.
That is hardcore
but we
pornography.
Do.
Well, we do. We did say that Sledgehammer was the kiddie porn wine.
So once upon
that's
a time.
We tasted and liked it, folks, though. And by the way, folks, Sledgehammer, for the money that it costs to have a website,
we'll do it for you.
And
it'll be the best you've ever... It'll be the best website you ever have seen with your name
on
it.
We'll just make a Facebook page or even a MySpace page. It's classier than Tumblr.
Discount what he said. We'll put a proper website up.
We'll make you a...
world famous.
We'll make you a Tinder page. A Tinder app page. People can link up with you.
You know, we do want their money.
Well, I know, but
you shouldn't make jokes like that.
Why do they slash prices from $25 to $9.99? That's a good
wine.
Because
they can't sell it.
Well, then don't put dumb shit on the label. Put Napa or tell people where it's from. Don't be so dumb about the dumbass label. And there's a good wine in that bottle.
There is a good wine in that bottle.
Admit that it has Petite Sirah in it. Do what Bogle does. Be more like Bogle, and you will sell the Sledgehammer, because the Sledgehammer's good.
Yeah.
It is.
I think wine, people appreciate red wine. If you list that it's got the petite in it,
yeah,
they're going to appreciate that.
They're going to know what to expect, and they're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Particularly
when you're putting that pretend $25 price tag on it and selling it for $10.
Nobody's going to buy it at $20. But, well, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, when all of them marked down to that price range... You know.
There's something brilliant I wanted to say.
I'm sure it was.
And
folks, when we get back, he will say that brilliant thing. We're right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back on the Wine Vault, folks. We're to the rating portion of this episode. We've got this wine in front of us. We are drinking the 2013 Bogle Vineyard Essential Red. It's a Zinfandel, Cabernet, Syrah, and Petite Syrah blend. And I think you realize that we think this wine,
we like it. We like it a lot.
We think it's good. And just so you know, folks, I know Scott has suggested otherwise. We do not take into account
price
when reviewing a wine. If a wine is good,
it's good,
and it's $7.99. We don't say that it's great and give it a 90. We give it what it should get in relation to everything else. It's like a school grade. So if we think you deserve an A, you get an A. We don't think because normally you're stupid, but you did all right, we gave you an A. No, no, no. You get what you earn in relation to everything else that exists out there. And that's how we're going to rate this one.
You might have written a better paper than little Bobby,
mm-hmm,
but if you didn't spell your words right and you had some bad sentence structure, you ain't getting that higher grade just because your paper was better and more interesting to read. You made some mistakes. You had some flaws. You're getting the grade you deserve.
Or if you're a toothless inbred fool like Gnarlyhead Black Old Vine Zin, we kick your ass out of school. Yep. And you sit there like a dunce with a 3/4 full bottle with a cork from the Essential Red in your top.
Yeah. It. And honestly, if we did it more properly where our first pour is a little lighter so that we can aerate that first taste better,
mm-hmm,
it probably would have less consumed. because yeah. whatever we poured in that first amount
was a little
and let's be honest, that what's left in that bottle is not emblematic of what we drank.
No, because we poured it out.
There was the pour. There was the spit glass.
We had the spit glass, folks.
So we didn't spit. We poured.
I am going to invest in a spit bucket behind the wine vault, and we're going to actually have to start using that. I believe as we, especially as wines get sent to us by, you know, wineries in Indiana and Michigan and Ohio. That will happen. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Really? We're drinking Indiana wine.
No. No, we won't.
We have
don't
to.
Send it.
What if they send like a $50 bill and a bottle of wine?
They send what?
A $50 bill and a bottle of wine. We take the $50 bill and we buy wine.
Is that like the Clemson players cupping Curtis Samuel's Nats?
It would be like us. We would be Curtis Samuel at that point, but we'd have to drink their wine.
No, we wouldn't.
Yes, we would.
No, we wouldn't.
We could have stunt people do it. Who's foolish enough that would drink it?
The superstar?
No, he would not.
Yes, he would.
Your daughter?
No.
We would send it to Bachelor Night. Ooh.
There's the Bachelor Night
You know who would drink it. You know who
those, would drink it. Yeah, all of them.
Those chicken yes. head...
For the record, I know my daughter, I would never make her drink bad Indiana wine.
I would.
Bastard.
Yeah. You would make her drink. Right now, you know, she has Barefoot Winter's Blend in her refrigerator. Barefoot Wine's Winter's Blend. It's a red wine.
We have...
In her refrigerator.
We have open at my house a Pennsylvania varietal.
There's a such thing as a Pennsylvania varietal.
Yeah, it's Hoe and Garden.
Hoe?
H-O-E is in the...
Oh, I figured that.
Implement.
Yeah.
Not hoe, like...
Prostitute.
The prostitute.
Yeah. Where'd you get that at?
It was a gift.
From who?
My loving mother.
She doesn't like you very much, does she?
It was a gift to my wife.
She didn't like it. Well, but yeah. Well,
nobody likes... They're just afraid of her. They love her, but there's a fear factor. No, my wine... Ma... Went to a wine festival and, you know, you get sometimes you get a little tipsy and you get a little drunk and you think something's good just because it got you drunk, maybe.
I don't know.
It
didn't happen to me. It's like when you go to Bangkok and you get some prostitute pregnant or something like that. Is that the same difference?
Are you speaking from personal experience?
I've never been to Bangkok, but, you know.
What about the prostitute getting...
Well, I mean, I think it's the same effect. It can damage lives.
I can't imagine where you came from there to get from the Hoe and Garden.
Folks, I am all for analogies. I'm great at this. So, where were we? Oh, yeah. We're rating the Bogle Essential Red. It's taken us 30 years to get to the rating because we got sidetracked.
This is definitely one of our favorite wines on the wine vault.
It really is. And irrespective of price, folks.
Fuck the price.
Right now, folks, the Dealey Lane.
This is where we're drinking it today. Yeah. We had that bottle of Turley Cab that I broke out.
And the Turley Cab, it's
wonderful. But where it's at, we were rating it more on where it'll be.
For one thing, folks, we exempt Turley from our reviews because obviously that's like bringing in a professional squad to compete with a bunch of retards.
Plus, I have some personal bias because Christina Turley is my girlfriend.
Yeah, she sure is. No, it's not really fair.
No, but I have to stay out of the... Mm-hmm. Rating because I'm my bias.
Sure.
Hi, honey. Hope you're sleeping well tonight.
I'm sure she is with some other man. Anyway, so Scott, she is.
That was harsh.
What's true?
It's harsh.
She ain't thinking about you.
She's waiting for me.
She's thinking Sancho, my F buddy.
Yeah.
Is that what she's thinking?
No, she's thinking.
No, because that's probably one of their spirits. Vineyard workers. Actually, name is Sancho. So, Scott, You're on deck with your view of the Bogle Essential Red.
In these ratings.
What?
Drinkability.
Yes.
Is it true to the variety? I think it's important.
Varietal.
This has multiple varieties.
Varietals.
Them too.
Damn it.
But they're all just say grapes. There.
They are all there. They are all there.
And this has to score high because of that.
They all have like little celebrity cameos where they go, hello, hi, Mr. Cabernet. Hi, how are you? I mean, it's phenomenal how it does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's done with balance and mm-hmm. class. And
it is excellent winemaking.
Yes.
That is.
Not to overdo my analysis, it's just on the cusp of being a big wine, and that's okay.
That's right.
I really love this wine, and I'm going to give it a 90.
Holy shit, folks. A 90?
I'm giving it a 90. Oh
my God.
I was thinking at 89, but I talked myself into 90.
Scott,
I love it.
Scott is on the cocaine train that so was tastings.com, folks. So now it's on to me. I will agree in every sense that this is a mastery of winemaking because you take all these individual parts, and I recognize the individual parts, and you can pick them out. But they all make this beautiful, value-priced representation.
Forget the price.
Well, I know, but it's true though, of a wine. And really, when you say Cab and Zin and Petit Sirah and Sirah, those are kind of, they aren't necessarily partners that mare very well, but they did here. It's really a triumph for what you can do at a reasonable price point. And it just says to everybody else, what are you fucking around for? Do it this way. Now, Scott, though, gives it a 90. And I think that's a little adventuresome. So I will also give it a 90 because it deserves a 90. It really does, folks. And we will have better wines than this in the wine vault.
This is the classic story of the mentor following the lackey's lead.
That's true. No, it deserves it. It honestly, and I'll be honest, just the way you can pick out each individual varietal for its individual character, and then it just sums up so beautifully. For $12, folks, it's as big of a triumph as, and this is ridiculous, this is fucking stupid for me to say this, it's as much as a triumph as Petrus is at $5,000 a bottle. Silence in the wine. We've never had Petrus, but seriously, folks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen the price points on Petrus, but I don't.
I mean, but you can do this at $11.99. And have a wine that people that know what they're doing and know what they're tasting and have experience and have skill can individually identify the varietals within the wine, but then still say that they bring it back to a wonderful overall blend is a major accomplishment. And that's why this wine deserves a 90. Absolutely. So, you know, Dealey Lane was nice, but it's twice as much. But it's a Pinot. But this wine, folks, gets the Wine Vault seal of approval.
Oh, by far.
So far, folks, and we're going to do this too, just like everybody else does. We're going to have a Wine Vault
Hall
of Wine of the Year.
Oh. Oh.
And so far, folks, it's early on in the year, but
this is a contender.
This is the price range we're going to focus on, folks. We're not really We're excluding things that we know are vastly superior because it's just not fair.
Plus, but, you know, we're paying for these things. We don't have the sponsors to send them to us. Well, but if you want us to try your vastly superior wine.
From Indiana?
No.
No. From Indiana. Keep your wines.
Yeah, keep your wines from Indiana. Send us your wines.
Absolutely, folks. We will taste them. But that's our take on the Essential Red. By all means, everyone, go out and buy it. Drink it. And quite frankly, I think you'll learn something from it.
Yes.
That's the other thing. It is a great bridge to everything else. Because it shows you a little Zin. It shows you what Cab's all about. It shows you what Petite Syrah looks like, smells like, feels like. And it gives you a little finish like Syrah does. It does all of those four things. And those are four cornerstone wine. Petite Syrah didn't used to be, but now it's getting to be that way.
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful. Beautiful, folks.
And we bought those Turley offerings, that Petite Syrah.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
So, folks, we here wholeheartedly endorse, and quite frankly, we salute Bogle.
Yeah. Craftsmanship 101.
Absolutely. You know what? That is more of anything. This isn't necessarily the grapes that do it. It's the winemaker that did it. And you know what? That's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
That really is. So with that, folks, we hope you enjoyed Zinapalooza. We think we ended on a strong note. We had the medium note was dog shit, but, you know, the gnarly head. But that's all right.
It was off to a good start.
Yes.
With a hammer, we were worried about would it be the biggest wine, and
it wasn't.
Maybe it was the biggest wine, but it wasn't the best wine.
I don't know. I think the Bogle turned out to be the biggest wine. But we have $10 wines here. And quite frankly, one thing we've proved tonight, if you look and you know what you're looking for, you can find some stuff in that price range you are going to wholeheartedly enjoy and savor and be able to pair with virtually anything.
And not only that, but go back and buy every bottle they have, because that's what we're going to do with this.
Damn straight.
Damn skippy.
So, we thank you. We wish you a good night. And we hope you enjoyed the Wine Vault. Good night.